Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:07 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is March 23rd. And today was a reasonably quiet day on markets, but I'm starting off with the intraday chart of the Nasdaq 100, and it has been reasonably volatile today. The range was between there was a 30 point range between 53.45 and 53.75, and we've had some pretty exaggerated peak to trough swings throughout the day. It finished close to the low of the day, and still that is less than a 1% range on the day, but it does represent a certain amount of indecision with regard to where markets are going. And we still see that there was that big downward dynamic on Monday, and of course that is only a big downward dynamic relative to what has been a very inert environment. We've gone quite a long time without a 1% decline, and the market is still digesting exactly what that means. Of course, it is in the context of a market that had rallied for 11 consecutive weeks, so we are due a pause in consolidation. And in view of that fact, it might be worth taking a look at some of the largest companies on the Nasdaq, because they have been some of the best performers, and they have constituted the majority of the advance that we've seen on some of the major indices. The one that really stands out is Google, and Google has been hitting new highs, but not in a particularly consistent manner. When we look back at the trend for Google, it had this very consistent advance where you got $100 ranges and $100 advances. We saw that all the way from the beginning of 2014. It went sideways, it went up $100, went sideways, went up $100, went sideways, but then it stopped doing that in the middle of 2016. And now there is this wedgie type characteristic to the chart pattern. It has now failed to sustain the move on the upside. It looks like there is a reversion to the mean underway, and it has been making headlines for the wrong reasons, because it has admitted that they cannot filter the YouTube content and put ads where people really want them to be, and that is upsetting advertisers. So there is not plain sailing for Google, despite the fact that it does have a dominant position in the advertising sector. It might be worth also looking at Facebook, since they control social media expenditures for a lot, they control the advertising budgets for a lot of companies. And the most consistent thing about the trend have been two characteristics. One is that it has found support in the region of the trend mean on successive occasions, and the other is that every time it becomes overextended relative to the trend mean by a similar margin to what it is right now, it has reverted back towards the mean. So Facebook is at risk of a pullback and some consolidation. It is a similar story for Apple, which has remained really rock steady and has not pulled back at all, but it went up in a straight line, and there is the potential for at least a pause and some consolidation. And it is almost exactly the same story for Microsoft, where the market remains really very firm. There is really no evidence of any kind of weakness, and yet there is a very mild overbought condition, but it is only about $4. So of them all, Microsoft is the one that has got the smallest percentage overextension relative to the trend mean. But it is a common characteristic that we have had a very impressive rally in the first part of this year, and we are approaching the end of the first quarter, and we have been through the 6 months, or we're approaching the end of the most favorable seasonal period of the year, and we've had 6 months on the upside. So now the question is, what happens next? And the answer is, generally speaking, that we get at least a pause in consolidation. And if we're getting a pause in the equity markets, then it's probably also worth looking at the bond markets. And they were relatively unchanged in here today, but the defining characteristic here is that we have a bounce from the lower side of the range, and we're just a bit past halfway through that range right now. But we have a very different environment, that this is quite different to what we see in stock markets, that this has been an uptrend that has been broken. There is a massive reaction against the prevailing uptrend, and this represents a right-hand extension phase which has been comparatively shallow. There is still something of an oversold condition relative to the trend mean, but it isn't very large, and there is perhaps additional potential for a rally, but in order to really question the bearish hypothesis, we'd have to see the price moving above 126. Gold prices were also reasonably quiet in here today, and because we're testing this psychological $1,250 area, and because prices have rallied for almost seven consecutive days, we are getting a little bit of a pause in consolidation here too. But the more important fact is that we had the massive reaction against the prevailing trend a year ago, and now we're in this right-hand extension phase, and we're bouncing from the lower side of that. It's looking increasingly likely that we have a higher reaction low in gold prices, and that $1,200 is now an important area for that we could look to as a touchstone in terms of where supply and demand really are, and where we have the potential for a rally back up towards that $1,400 area. Even if it rallies back to $1,400, we'll still be in a range. And by that stage, then I think people will probably be a lot more bullish, but we would still be in a range, and it would really require a move above that level to confirm a return to medium-term demand dominance. So the short-term risks are on the upside, and the risk in terms of a stop is it's comparatively close relative to the potential upside. So it is understandable that people are beginning to become a bit more interested in the precious metals around these levels. Oil prices have been quite weak, but they have so far held the region of the $50 area. This is still a very interesting market, both from the technicals, but also from the long-term perspective. And there is a great deal of prognostication going on across just about every news outlet and everyone who's interested in the energy sector about what's going to happen next. And I posted another one of these types of reports today. It has some very interesting statistics about peak oil demand and where that has occurred in various countries and when it occurred. For example, it has already occurred in Japan, it's already occurred in Europe, it's arguable whether it's occurred in the US, not least because energy prices are generally lower here, but also that it is a major energy producer. And that raises the question of energy intensity and the pace of technological innovation. And I'm going to post another article where it quotes that the cost of producing energy and these large offshore wind farms, which has halved since 2012, and that's a lot. That I mean, they're expensive. They're still expensive, but a halving is significant in 5 years, not least because we're getting these very, very large wind turbines offshore, and the oil companies have got some impressive expertise in building things offshore. Something that caught my attention today was Royal Dutch Shell. It has posted an incredibly impressive advance over the last year. It is now back testing the region of the trend mean. And if it's going to find support, it is around this area that one would expect demand to be reasserted. I also looked at Brazil, and Brazil has got a very similar pattern. It has this choppy advance, but it's a very impressive advance. It has almost completed its reversion back towards the mean. It was a little bit steadier in here today, but within these 3,000 points, between 60 and 63,000, is about where we would anticipate that support would be found if this is going to remain an uptrend overall. And it is not so surprising that we see some pullback and consolidation from the region of that 70,000 level, considering that that is where the highs were back in 2008 and 2009. Looking at some of the other commodity-related markets, one of the currencies that does stand out is the South African rand. it has firmed through its lows. Sorry, it has moved to a new recovery high. The dollar is breaking down against it. And that is a reassertion of the Rand's uptrend. And considering that it was testing the 18 level at the beginning of 2016, we're now into the 12s. So that is a significant advance in the South African Rand. And the country's independent judiciary is perhaps the one big cornerstone of governance that has not been yet impugned. But the Johannesburg All Share in nominal terms has been going sideways, and that is against a background where the rand has appreciated by a third. So that masks the significant strength that the market has had. And commodity related markets generally have seen their currencies firm. The continuous commodity index is now right at the lower side of its range. It's testing the region of the trend mean. It has had a little bounce. It needs to do better, but at least it has not broken down. That continues to represent a generally bullish environment, but it is, considering that we have already had a big move, that the going gets a little bit tougher from here. The first doubling is usually the easiest one. The Australian dollar is also at an interesting level. It is right at the region of the upper side of this range. It's been ranging for a year. It has pulled back from the upper side of that range. It is now testing the region of the trend mean, but it really would need a clear upper dynamic, quite similar to the one that we had 2 weeks ago, to confirm that we are going to break up and out of this range. And I don't think there's anybody in Canberra wants to see a stronger currency. I think they're quite happy for the Australian dollar to simply go sideways. The ASX 200 has been in a really quite volatile environment for the last 3 years, and it has conspired to present us with this range, but we're towards the upper side of that range. And there has been a general upward bias for a year, but it has been subject to some very acute pullbacks during that time. So far, this has been relatively calm over the last couple of months. But the risk is that we get a short, sharp pullback towards the region of the trend mean, because we are in a generally more corrective environment overall, that there is unlikely to be any market that is immune from that, and not least because the Wall Street leash effect is now so much more important. Everyone is looking at the dollar index and what's happening on Wall Street and taking cues from it. And the dollar index is still below 100. It has been really quite inert over the last few days, but it has not posted yet, at least, the clear upper dynamic that would confirm support in this area. The Japanese market was reasonably quiet in here today. It has pulled back from below the 20,000 level and is now testing the 19,000 level. The second section index, which has been leading for a considerable period already, got all the way up to that 6,000 level and has pulled back and paused. It paused around 5,500, and it also paused around 4,500, although it cruised straight through 5,000. So we have some evidence, at least, of pauses and consolidations in the region of these round numbers, and it was overbought in the short term. When we look at it on the weekly chart, it did accelerate higher, and we could see some a deeper process of consolidation if we are going to enter a period of mean reversion. And whether that does in fact occur is probably down to what the yen does. It's currently trading at 111. It is testing the region of the trend mean, and a strengthening through 110 would likely act as a significant headwind to particularly the second section from doing better and pushing through that 6,000 level. there has been, and I've spoken with a number of institutional investors over the last few days, and the one thing that I have heard repeatedly is that India is too expensive to invest in, despite the fact that it has broken on the upside. And I thought that that was a rather telling. That told me more than any other factor that they don't own it, that they've been out of this market for a significant amount of time already. But when we look at the market, it has been ranging for over 2 years. It has posted really a very impressive advance over the last couple of months, and it has pushed on to new high ground. And some consolidation is underway, but it rallied in here today from above the 9,000 level. The extent to which Wall Street pulls back and consolidates is probably going to have an influence on what all markets do, and India, again, is probably another market that will be influenced by that. The rupee is also something that is going to be at the forefront of people's minds, and it was a little bit weaker in here today. It has a short-term overbought condition. The dollar is a bit oversold in the short term, so we do have the potential for a reversionary rally, and that might contribute to some consolidation on the Nifty. But provided it is continuing to trade above the trend mean, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The counter argument to those who say that the, and I can pull up the chart, it's the PE for the Nifty index right now is about 22 and a third. And it has broken upwards, and it is comparatively high, particularly relative to anything that we've seen since about 2009. But there is another argument, and it is to look at perhaps the price to book of the market. And this is the price to book chart for the same index. And it is now back to where it traded in 2008. So, despite the fact that we have earnings that have not come in line with the advance that we've had in prices, the price to book of the market is back at reasonably attractive levels. And that, at least, is something that I think will probably be of interest to international investors. So, despite the fact that we have this potential for a little bit of a pause in consolidation, there are some fundamental factors outside of this political sphere that would support an overall bullish attitude towards India, where it is likely to be a buy on the dips. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.